do pray, and we'll open up here and we'll get started in our lesson this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this special day that we have, being your day, the Lord's Day. This is Sunday. We thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for our freedom that we have in our country today to come, to assemble here, to be present this morning. We just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have in our service to you. We thank you for our country. We do pray for our country. Lord, it's very obvious to all we need a revival to take place in our land, and we do pray for that today and ask for your help and your blessing there. And Lord, we ask for a spiritual awakening in our land. And Lord, we pray for revival even in our own lives. And Lord, help us in this new year as we begin. Lord, help us to be, Lord, faithful to you. Help us to grow spiritually in our life. Lord, help us to follow your leading and guiding. And Lord, help us to accomplish your will for our life that you have for us in this new year. Lord, we do pray for our time that we have as we open up your word. We pray for your blessings upon all that's said and done. And Lord, may you speak to our hearts. We do want to, Lord, pray for those who are sick this morning. We do pray for them. We ask, Lord, that for your healing hand, for your touch of healing upon their life, that you would heal those that are sick this morning. We pray for the other prayer requests that has, Lord, already been given this week and the new ones that will be given today. We just pray for them. We uplift those prayer requests, those needs that are present this morning. And Lord, we just pray for your will to be done there. Lord, as always, we want to pray for those that are lost that maybe we come in contact with. Maybe it's someone in our immediate family. Maybe it's a next-door neighbor or friend. Maybe it's somebody down the road. Maybe it's someone that we work with. Lord, I just pray that you'll help them. Maybe, Lord, this would be the time of the year that they would see their need of salvation. And Lord, help us to be a good witness, a good testimony before them this week. And Lord, we pray for that in a special way. Lord, once again, we want to mention, as we pray for our missionaries, and Lord, we ask for your help in their life, for your blessing upon their lives and their families, their works, that you would bless them in a special way today as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Proverbs chapter number 8 this morning. Proverbs chapter number 8. I'm not going to read all the verses this morning, but we'll just kind of we'll make note here of several of the verses here, and we'll kind of highlight a few. In fact, it's kind of hard to decide which ones to highlight. There's none any more important than another. They're all important, but I'm just going to kind of maybe bring out a few in each chapter for sake of time this morning, and kind of highlight a few. And we'll discuss here a few this morning, even though we're not going to read all the verses this morning. Now, in all three of these chapters, you'll find here that wisdom is what is being mentioned. It's what we are discussing in our chapters this morning. It is lifted up and held high and praised, and basically trying to instruct us and making us realize the value of wisdom. You know, when it comes down to it, I don't know if you can really put a dollar amount on what wisdom is worth money-wise. I don't know that there's an actual number you can place on that, just like salvation. I mean, what kind of a price do you put on salvation? I mean, it's more valuable than anything you can find in this world. And when it comes to wisdom, you're going to find that we are also kind of instructed here that when it comes to wisdom, it's hard to put a price tag on it because it's going to be worth more than all the money in the world. And as you study the book of Proverbs, you can kind of find out why it is so valuable, because it is so important in life. You know, wisdom is something that is very important in the life of a believer. Now, we all know, we've discussed this from the very beginning, from the very first week, all wisdom comes from God. So we have to understand where wisdom comes from. And it comes from God, and as God imparts wisdom unto us, and as we grasp it, as we understand, as we apply the principles of God, the end result is going to be wisdom. Now, wisdom is going to help you in a lot of ways in life. It will help you money-wise. It will help you spiritually. Wisdom will help you physically. Wisdom will, in every aspect of life, wisdom is going to come into play, and it's going to be a very important part of life. Now, it's fair to say this morning that not everybody is wise. There are probably some people maybe in your life that you look back and maybe you point to them and say, you know, that's a wise individual there. But we've probably also pointed our fingers at people and said, that's a pretty stupid person right there. I mean, it's pretty obvious. Not everybody has wisdom. Now, wisdom that is given here in the book of Proverbs, it's not all just spiritual. It's very practical. It's everyday life. It's how to live life, how to conduct yourself in life. Wisdom is what's going to help you make the right choices. It's going to keep you on the right path in life. So there's a lot of aspects that when it comes to wisdom that applies to life. We can't say it just applies to one area of life. It applies to every single aspect of a person's life. And we ought to strive for wisdom. We need to strive to be wise, to be those of understanding that know the principles of God. We apply them to life. We watch it work in life. And then we back up and look at it and realize, man, this actually really works. God knows what He's doing here. And then you walk away from that with wisdom. And then you also, not only do you need to search and desire wisdom in life, but we also need to pass it down to the next generation. And that's what the book of Proverbs pretty well is. Now, in chapter number 8 this morning, I'm going to skip down. I'm not going to begin in verse number 1. Let's go down. We'll go all the way down to verse number 10. The Bible says, "Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold." So we find here the father, Solomon here, he is giving instruction yet once again. And he's basically saying here that the son needs to receive the instruction that he's given here and the knowledge that he has given him. And that is also, he refers here, that it is more important that you receive the instruction and that you get the knowledge that is given here unto him. And it's more important than silver, and it's more valuable than gold. So we find here another price tag kind of placed here, trying to make sure that we understand the value of what is given here. It is more valuable than silver. It is more valuable than gold. Now, why is silver and gold used? Because silver and gold is a standard that's been used down through the history of time of value, of something that has a great value, as far as money is concerned. It's most sought after in life would be gold and silver. Yet, we find here that as a son, he would be better off chasing after knowledge. And we find also here in verse number 10, and the instruction that's given here, that's more valuable than him chasing silver or gold in life. Now, we spend a lot of time in life, especially with young people, training them. Our children go to school here. We teach them math, history, science, how to read, how to write. We teach them all the different subjects that are required for instruction in school, but we've also got to remember there's something a lot more valuable than even that, and that's knowledge, understanding, and wisdom that only comes from God. Now, I personally believe that the understanding and knowledge that God gives is more valuable than all the other subjects that a young person could ever take in life. And we find, well, we'll move on. Let's go to the next verse. Look at verse number 11. "For wisdom is better than rubies." So he's used silver, he's used gold, and now he uses rubies here to describe, and he's trying to describe a little bit of how valuable this is, how valuable instruction is, how valuable understanding is, how valuable godly wisdom is in life. It's going to be more valuable than all the gold, silver, and rubies that you could ever find in this world. Now, sometimes that's a little bit hard for us to grasp and understand because we put a pretty hefty, we put a lot of importance on money. I mean, you turn on the news and it's a lot about money in the news. It's about jobs. It's about retirement. It's about the stock market. It's about bonds. It's about this and that. And we put a lot of importance on money. And let's be honest, it does take money to live. Electricity is not free. Our water that we drink is not free. Gasoline in the automobile is not free. Everything we have does cost money. Often people will put a net worth on an individual. And that kind of declares a little bit of what that person is worth as far as money is concerned. Well, when you go to the book of Proverbs, it's the complete opposite. It's describing unto us that the instruction that you receive from God, the understanding that you are granted from God, and the wisdom that you inherit from those is more important than the gold and the silver and the rubies of this world. So we go back to verse number 11. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. So then it's got a little sum, kind of sums it up here, and anything else that maybe you could desire in life, it's not going to be more valuable than the instruction, the knowledge, and the wisdom that comes from God. So when it really comes down to it, it's impossible to put a value on godly wisdom, understanding, knowledge. And another thing also that we need to keep in mind, it kind of would maybe make us realize also this morning the importance of God's Word that we hold in our lap this morning. I'm afraid so often we look at, well, you know, that's the Bible, it's God's Word, and we believe it to be true, but we need to realize it's more valuable. This book right here is more valuable than gold, silver, and rubies that you hold in your hand this morning. But yet we often don't put that much of importance on it. How many locks up their Bible in a safe? How many goes down to the bank and maybe rents a safety deposit box and puts their Bible in it? Nobody does. And I'm afraid sometimes we kind of have this view and this attitude towards the Word of God. We believe it to be true and we believe it to be God's Word, but listen, it is far more valuable than all the money you're ever going to make in your life, this book that you hold in your hand. I mean, this is the actual Word of God. Now, when we look at it that way, how do you put a price tag on the Word of God? There's no way. Is it worth $1,000? Is it worth $1 million? Is it worth $1 billion, $1 trillion? There's no value that you can place. It far exceeds all the money that you can come up with. It's more valuable than gold. It's more valuable than silver. It's more valuable than rubies. It is the Word of God. And we find all throughout the book of Proverbs, and sometimes as you read through the book of Proverbs, you'll find it listed over and over and over, the statement that kind of declares the value of what is given, the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding that's given here, how valuable it is. And it often used gold, silver, rubies, just kind of reminding the reader here that it's far more valuable than you can ever put a price tag on. And sometimes I'm afraid we approach God's Word wrongly sometimes. We need to realize how important that it is. It is wisdom. It is understanding. It is knowledge. It is the Word of God. And that's where we find the wisdom of God. You take God's Word out of the equation, you don't know anything about God. The only way you know anything about God is through His Word. I mean, you take this Word out right here, salvation's gone. Any understanding and knowledge of heaven and hell and right and wrong, hey, it's all wiped out. It all comes from this one book right here. This is wisdom. This is knowledge. This is understanding. This is God. It's God's Word. So as you read through the book of Proverbs, and I'm just kind of highlighting this because you find it listed over and over and over here, that it's just describing unto you how important this book is. Look down at verse number 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then it goes on, not only evil, but it goes on and says, pride and arrogancy and an evil way and a forward mouth do I hate. Kind of odd that at times through the book of Proverbs, there's just kind of almost like a little list pops up and kind of reminds you, hey, let me just remind you, let me kind of throw this in here, let me show you some things God doesn't like. You know, it's good to know what God doesn't like. For instance, we just finished up Christmas, and if you're buying somebody a gift, you don't go out and try to find something they don't like, you go out and try to find something they do like. Why? Because you want to be a blessing unto them. And we need to realize that even in the book of Proverbs, often, and I just want to kind of highlight this as well, every so often you'll find a few verses that pop up through the book of Proverbs here, and it's just going to describe unto you and remind you, here's some things that God does not like. Now, if God doesn't like them, we need to stay away from them. It's very simple here. He says the fear of the Lord in verse number 13 is to hate evil. God hates evil. It goes on, pride. God hates pride. Something we do, we all struggle with at times in life. We do teach and we preach and we do our very best to be humble, but, being humble is not in our nature to be humble. Your nature wants to be prideful, and we battle that in life. But just keep in mind that God hates pride. Arrogancy, all right? Have you ever met a very arrogant person? Boy, he's arrogant. And you say that about somebody based on his attitude, the way he conducts himself, the way he lives his life, and it's something else. God doesn't like that in a person. You go on, he says here, the evil way. He also mentions a forward mouth, and then it says, do I hate? Okay? So what is there, four or five things there in just one verse right there that you can kind of just look at and make sure that we don't have that in our life, make sure that we don't live our life that way, because God does not like that. He's describing here the opposite of what God would want you to live in your life. You'll find verse 14, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. All right. So it's describing wisdom in this chapter. Wisdom is strength. Wisdom is understanding. And every child of God can strive to be more wise. You know, is there a finish line with wisdom? I don't think so. I mean, is there a point in life where you reach a certain milestone in life where you say, okay, I've just achieved wisdom, I've got it? I don't think there is. I don't think there's a finish line. I don't think there's an end to wisdom. I think no matter how wise a person may be, he can always grow a little more and be even more wise. I don't think there's an ending point to wisdom. You see, wisdom is a constant learning experience. It's constant. It's every day. It's every week. It's every year. Learning and growing and maturing and developing and gaining more knowledge and gaining more understanding, going through more trials, putting principles to work in life and watching them actually develop in life, having a better understanding of the principles of God's Word, how they work, how they apply to life. What the outcome's going to be if you follow this path. What the outcome's going to be if you follow that path. A lot of that takes experience. It takes living. It takes hours and days upon days of living to grow. Wisdom is not, you know, there's not just a, you're not going to go to a local bookstore and read a book in 30 minutes about wisdom and walk away from and say, okay, I've got it. I'm all wise now. It doesn't work that way. You can take and read this book right here. You can go home today and in 7 days read it from Genesis to Revelation, and you can't close it and say, okay, I've got it all, I'm all wise now. Doesn't work that way. You've got to live it. You've got to put it to practice. You've got to work it out. You've got to see how it works, how it intermingles with life, how it functions, what the outcomes are going to be. And it takes time. All right, does anybody know, according to God's Word, on an individual, what a mark of wisdom is in an individual? Does anybody know what it is? And there's some other elements, I guess. Does anybody know what it is? It's on top of your head. The fear of God. We know that wisdom comes from God. But what I, even at this, even the Word of God describes wisdom. Gray hairs on an individual is a mark of wisdom. Now, just because you're gray-headed doesn't mean you're all wise this morning. I've got some gray hairs. Some of you have more gray hair than I do. Some of you lost some of your gray hair along the way. But what is that? Gray hair is usually a mark of age, is it not? Not many babies are born with gray hair. But as time goes along, our hair starts to change a little bit, starts to turn gray. Now, sometimes we don't like it to do that, so we kind of cover it up, and sometimes we don't want to accept the fact, but just to be honest with you, old age is going to bring some gray hairs. Okay? What is that? Is it? It's a mark according to God's word of wisdom. And what does that mean? And it primarily comes from a period of time that's been lived. You've lived long enough that you kind of know a thing or two. I just believe people in this room know more than teenagers do. Now, I've met some adults that don't know much more than teenagers, but on the majority, most adults know more than teenagers do. Why is it? Why is that? Because we've lived longer. We've experienced more. We have experience. When you go to work to try to get a job somewhere, the first thing they're going to know, do you have any experience? We need to have a good experience of life according to God's Word. And how God's Word interacts with life, and how this book lives in life, and how this book wants me to live in life. And when I live life according to this, I learn and I grow and I understand it more. That makes sense to you. All right, so we find here in the book of Proverbs, and I'm just highlighting verse number 10, verse number 11. It's just giving you a little bit of an idea, an understanding of the value of wisdom. Verse 13 is just another one of those verses that you'll find throughout through the book of Proverbs that will just kind of remind you a little bit of some things that God does not like in life. Verse number 19, he says, "My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold." So we find it, and it also mentions choice silver here at the end of verse number 19, once again putting the value of wisdom. Now, in verse 19, it's not necessarily talking about wisdom in itself, it's talking about the fruits of wisdom. It's talking about some benefits that come along with being wise in life. Okay? I think we would all agree this morning that a wise person would realize there is a certain way that a person ought to live their life. We use something very simple. We all know this morning that we have a drug problem in our nation. Everybody knows that. Very big drug problem in our land, all right? And it's not just children, it's not teenagers, it's a lot of adults as well. Now, we all know this morning that if you follow that path, you're going to have a lot of hardships in life. You're going to break your mother's heart, you're going to break your father's heart, you're going to make it difficult on your family, you'll end up probably losing your job, you'll never have anything in life, you'll lose all your possessions in life, you'll lose your family. If you're married, you'll probably lose your marriage over it. In fact, you're probably going to lose everything in life if you follow that path. Now, we know that because we're wise enough to understand. Now, our solution is you don't go down that path. You go down this path. You go down the path of righteousness. You follow the path of God's Word. If you'll follow that path, I can also promise you there are going to be some benefits down that path. More than likely, you'll have a good marriage. More than likely, you'll raise a good family. More than likely, you will probably keep your job. You will more than likely, if you follow, and I say more than likely because we still have the flesh involved there, but we know for a fact, if you follow this plan right here, Your marriage will stay together. You'll raise a family. You'll keep your job. You'll have good health to a degree. Or good life, I should say. And we know that to be true. Why? There are benefits of following God. Now, we find here in the book of Proverbs that it tells me here, the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of wisdom, the fruit of understanding, the fruit of knowledge we find here is better than gold, yea, than fine gold. So we find it to be valuable. Even the benefits of it are very valuable. Alright, let's go to chapter 9. We'll skip over and go to chapter 9. Our lesson covers chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10. But let's go to chapter number 9, and I'm going to skip down as well. I'm not going to begin in verse number 1. I want to go to verse number 8. The Bible says, "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee." Interesting facts we find here. I don't think that it applies only to young people. I believe that it applies to every age bracket in life. Look at verse number 9. "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." And then it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased." All right? But I want to go back to verse 8 and verse number 9. You can actually go up further, verse 7 as well. Basically talking about instructing or rebuking two different groups of people. A wise person is someone that, and here's kind of how you know a person is wise. Even as a young person that has maybe a degree of wisdom about them, we'll use young people here. A wise young person will be someone that you can correct them. You can instruct them. You can even rebuke them. And if he's wise, he'll love you for it. He'll accept it. You see, a wise person will take the correction in life, the discipline in life, however you want to look at it, he'll receive it, he'll correct the problem in his life, and he'll thank you in the end for revealing that to him. That's what a wise person will do. Now, a scorner is just the opposite. He can't receive instruction. He doesn't like rebuke. He gets mad if you point out maybe something in his life that needs to be corrected. He doesn't receive it. He doesn't change his life. And that's why he'll grow up being the life of a scorner. And it's adults as well. It's not just young people, adults as well. Now, our flesh does not like to be corrected. We don't like to be told we're wrong. We don't like to be told that's not right. We don't want to be told we need to do differently. We don't like rebuke. We don't like scorn. We don't like discipline. We don't like instruction, or our flesh doesn't. But if you're wise enough, you'll understand the instruction that was given to you is actually for your own benefit. So we find here that that a wise man will respond to rebuke by correcting the error in his life. It even comes down to young people. I'm sure Brother Yandel could testify a million times up here this morning about young people. There are some young people that he could probably get on to, and he can probably by getting on to them vocally, and there's some of the young people, they'll probably stop it right then. There are some that are going to do it as soon as he turns his back on them. It just tells you there's one that's more wise than the other, even in high school. You can go back to grade school. You can go all the way back to even as a child. You can see some that are developing with wisdom in their life. And those that can take the instruction, the correction, the discipline of life, know that it's for their own good, correct the error in their life, guess what? They're on their way to a better life. But that young individual that will not accept it, that as soon as Brother Gamble turns his back to him, boy, they'll mouth off or make a face or get mad or go home and sob to mom and dad or whatever the case may be, that is revealing unto us that young person has got a hard road ahead of them. You know, Miss Bradley, I'm sure she's had some students that say, Miss Bradley's just not fair. Well, I've got news for you. Life's not fair. Wherever do we begin to think life is fair? Now, I'm not saying Miss Bradley is unfair in any kind of way, but you know what? There'll be some young person that will say yes, ma'am, to Miss Bradley. And there'll be some that just soul up and get mad, and it's not yes, ma'am, it's yeah. It reveals that there's an individual that's just not developed in wisdom. Because God's Word tells us here, and is basically instructing unto us, that this wise person, he understands that the correction that's given unto him is only trying to help him, not hurt him. It's for his good, not for his bad. We'll find in the verse number 10. You find in verse number 10, you find Solomon, he returns under some previous statements. Sometimes you'll find this statement throughout the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So we've read that before. It's found kind of throughout the book of Proverbs. It's a reminder unto us that all wisdom and understanding begins with God. If you take God and God's Word out of the equation, you're never going to accomplish wisdom in life. Now, I personally believe that's one of the most important factors of a Christian school. Now, could I send my schools to down the road to another school to learn math? Sure I could. They can learn English, they can learn science, they can learn history, they can learn math at about any school I choose in town. But if you don't begin with the basis of where it all comes from, you're never going to accomplish the ultimate goal, and that's wisdom. And wisdom only comes from God. You know, I think we discussed this back several weeks ago. There are a lot of very knowledgeable, smart, stupid people in life. Have you ever met an educated idiot? Have you ever met somebody like that? They're very educated. They've got 3 degrees on their wall. They can spit out an equation to you that you have no idea what they're talking about. But they have absolutely no common sense whatsoever. They've got an understanding. They've got a book knowledge. But if you don't know where knowledge really comes from God's Word, And I'm not trying to be ugly, but you're an idiot. Because all knowledge and wisdom and understanding, it all comes from God. And if you don't get that down, if you don't get that basis down in life, that all knowledge comes from God, you'll grow up and be an educated idiot. That's why I believe one of the most important factors of a Christian school is the basis they get in understanding that it doesn't matter whether it be science, whether it's math, English, literature, spelling. It doesn't matter what subject a child is taking in life. They've got to understand and know that the beginning of wisdom comes from God. If you don't get that, I don't care how many degrees you have on your wall. I don't care what university you graduate from. If you don't grasp that foundational doctrine, to me, and that's just me, you'll grow up and be an educated idiot. I've met a lot of people like that in life. But anyway, so we understand here in verse number 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it must start. If you bypass that, do not incorporate God into it, you're not ever going to accomplish wisdom in life. All right, did everybody understand? Everybody grasp that, I think. It says also in verse number 10, for the knowledge of the holy is understanding. You'll find also in verse number 11 some benefits of wisdom once again. We find this often throughout the book of Proverbs. Guess what? You'll live longer. Now, you know, we could back it up and look at it in a practical way. The reason you're going to live longer is because you're not stupid. You have an understanding about God and how God functions in life and how the world works and how life works and how you put God's principles to practice in your life. It's going to add some days to your life. Now, as I mentioned before, how many days? I do not know. I have no idea how long God intends on me living on this earth. You know, is my last day when I'm 50 or 55 or 60? I don't know. But I do know this, whatever it should be, if I follow God's plan, incorporate the wisdom of God into life, it's going to add some days to my life. I just believe that. God is not saying here that He'll let you live to be 150. He's not promising you 90 days of life or 90 years of life. He's just saying that the principles, that one of the benefits of following God's plan of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, it will add some days to your life. We go back to the illustration of the drug problem that we have in our land. You know as well as I do, a teenager starts getting hooked on drugs as a teenager and stays a drug addict all his life, he's not going to live real long. His life will get cut short. Why? It's just the principles of life. I mean, drugs have a devastating effect on your body. It puts it damages the body physically. And as we damage the body physically, and you do it repeatedly over and over and over and month after month and year after year, I promise you, you're not going to live as long. And that's just, I mean, that's just common sense. But we find here that, as verse number 11 tells me, for by me, talking about wisdom, it's wisdom here that's actually, he's speaking as wisdom is speaking here, for by me thy days shall be multiplied. And the years of thy life shall be increased. How much more is added? How much is the increase? We do not know. I just know there are benefits. You know, and isn't it amazing? It's in every aspect of serving God. God gives wonderful benefits in everything that we do. It can be... it could be in our giving. We talk about that, maybe use that as an illustration. We've often said, you've heard it preached a million times, you cannot outgive God. We talk about salvation and the benefits of salvation. I don't have to go to hell, I get to go to heaven, but there's a lot more to salvation than just those two things. I think when salvation gives a peace of mind that some people and many people do not have in life. It eliminates a lot of worry in life. So there's a lot of benefits with anything. In your service to God, God always gives excellent benefits. And you find there that is one of them as well. Let's go to chapter number 10. We'll go there and spend here just a few moments here in chapter number 10. You'll find, and I will just highlight a few things. Look at verse number 1, the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Now, we find here that just this is very practical as well. A son that grows up, son or daughter, doesn't matter here, but a son that grows up, that follows God's plan, that applies the principles of God's word, that understands, that gains wisdom in life and grows up in the pattern that God would have that child to grow up in, serves God with his life or her life, doesn't matter what they do, but as long as they're serving God in life, you know what that's going to do? That's going to make a mom and a dad real happy. But you take a child that follows the path of foolishness, and it weighs very heavy upon the mom and dad. It burdens mom and dad. It may sadden mom and dad. And it may be some here even this room this morning that's experienced some of that on both sides. Maybe wise son side of the happiness. But, you know, and I understand, in raising children, you know, you do all that you can, but it doesn't, you know, we can't live life for them. There comes a day when they start making choices on their own, and I can't always be there for them, and you can't always be there for them, and they're going to become a young adult someday, an adult someday, and they'll make their own choices in life. But it's our job as a mom and a dad to raise our children the best way possible, to teach them the ways of God and what God would want in their life. Doesn't, and I'm not saying that you know, that it guarantees that they're going to grow up and be great and perfect little, young people someday. It doesn't mean that at all. But you know as well as I do that when a child follows the path of righteousness, it makes a mom and dad happy. When they choose the wrong path of life and they choose the foolish roads of life, it can weigh very heavy on the heart of a mom and a dad. Go down to verse number 5. It talks a little bit again about work, teaching a young person about the importance of work. You'll find this all throughout the book of Proverbs. It's a theme that keeps reappearing over and over and over, because it's something that needs to be taught. I also believe this. I believe that you find it so often in the book of Proverbs that it ought to make us understand and realize the importance of teaching our children, our young people, how to work. Because you know what? If a child grows up, makes straight A's in history and math and algebra and English and whatever, but if they don't have the character to know how to work, you're going to find that life's going to be very difficult. The value of just knowing how to work. Look at verse number 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. So it's describing here yet once again how important it is that young people know how to work, how to be productive in life, how to be able to be constructive in life, how to be able to process things, and how to just, learn how to work some things out in life. I think it wasn't real long ago, Brother Yandel and I were speaking over in the gym. It was when you were setting up for what's that thing we have in the fall? Fall festival. And I don't remember what they were doing that day, and they were trying to build. What did y'all build? I don't remember this year. What was it? It was a fort, a castle, airplane. What was it? I don't remember. A castle this year. They do something different each year, and they build something that has a maze in it, and it's made out of cardboard and so forth, and they put it all together. It's real neat, and actually the young people very much enjoy doing that. And I think that's actually a pretty good project too, by the way. I think there's, sometimes we look at that as, that's just, kind of something we throw in there, but sometimes things like that can actually be more valuable than what they could learn in a classroom. And I don't remember what y'all were doing that day, and you were trying to tell them how to do it, and then finally you just told them, just go do it. And sometimes that's what people need to be told sometimes. Sometimes young people need to go out and just figure it out. Sometimes mom and dads have to back off a little bit and quit doing everything for our children and just tell them, you know what, you go figure it out. You know what? And if they make a wrong, maybe they make a mistake, that's okay. That's how you learn in life. And I'm afraid sometimes we as parents, we're afraid to let our child try to do something because we're afraid they may mess it up and make a mistake. You know, not like us. We've never made mistakes in life. Sometimes it's good to let children learn how to do some things, be productive, figure things out, know how to work, know how to be productive in life. You'll find in verse number 5, it's talking a little bit about that yet once again. And we are out of time. Let's pray, and we'll dismiss. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for our time that we've had. We pray for your blessings upon our day. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to realize the importance of wisdom and understanding and knowledge that comes from God. Help us to, Lord, always seek out of that, after that, even as an adult. Help us to always strive to learn, to grow, to be more wise than we were before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.